Here we are, Mr. Stanley. Here we are.
What's up, Bryce? How's it going, brother?
It's going, man. It's going. And it's been a crazy week. Last Thursday night, late, basically early Friday morning, I headed up to New Jersey with Pauly P to go up to Bitcoin Ben's meetup and got back late Sunday night, decided to just go ahead and wait till today to kind of get back in the swing of things. I needed a little bit of a break.
Nice.
So I think it's the longest break I've taken all year. It's actually, it was like 6 or 7 days.
Something yeah, I saw like Bitcoin, that. I saw your boy Bitcoin Ben was on with X22. I shared it with you guys, but I didn't get a chance to watch it yet or listen to it.
Yeah, no, I want to check that out. I think it had something to do partially in part with a lawsuit that's going on. There's like a class action lawsuit with a bunch of content creators that were taken off of YouTube. So
yeah, that's cool. Hopefully they'll get something out of it.
Most definitely. Real quick, I just want to go through our chat and see who's joined us and shout out everybody. Mars Life, he's tuning in an hour before we started commenting, so I appreciate it. Hopefully he's still with us. TGS Source, I appreciate you tuning in. Gnostic Monk, that is Mr. Christian here in North Carolina, man. I appreciate you tuning in, brother. Identity Block is in the house. What's up, Hector? Bismala Rabini. Martin 1967, Falcon Hoof. We also have Catherine Peterson, Pamela Sue, Catherine Wilmot, Pauly P is in the house. And we got 33 people watching between both of our channels and on my Twitter account. So we appreciate everybody for tuning in for this. This is going to be an interesting conversation. Before we get started, I mentioned something about gold backs. I'm going to do a show about this, but I want to really quickly just show everybody what these things look like. They're basically like notes that would be similar to a US dollar. And they actually have gold inside of the bill itself. And there's different increments of it. And you can buy them on Money Metals Exchange at moneymetals.com. And you can combine it with like silver and gold.
They kind of look holographic.
Yes, the light, because of the lighting, it makes it really hard to see. Like I said, I'll do a video and show some pictures, but I think it's goldback.com. People can go check out. And I did an interview with the president that's going to be on my audio podcast, The Rice Bowl, that should be coming out early next week. So I'll do an episode talking about what the gold backs are, because I think it's a really cool idea. It's like a voluntary currency. It actually has gold inside of the bill, and each denomination has more gold, so the bills are actually bigger. It's a pretty interesting concept, especially when you consider everything going on with the US dollar and everything going on in the political climate.
Mm-hmm.
Also got to shout out Miss Mantis. I saw her out in New Jersey. She came out to Bitcoin Ben's meetup.
Bismala Rabani says hello. Hello, Bismala.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate everybody for tuning in. I'm going to go ahead and throw in Mr. Sully Sullivan into the mix.
What up, E?
You know, fellas.
What's going on, brother?
Oh, same, you know, double S, double D, right? Same shit, different day.
Well, hey, real quick, remember the 5th of November. Mm-hmm. That is today. But I actually want to tell people that if they do their research about what some people might know as the gunpowder plot.
Treason and plot, yeah.
Yeah, you can. There's another name for it in history that doesn't get spoken about as much, and that's the Jesuit plot. So you could definitely look into that, because it was King James, if I'm not mistaken, that was in Parliament. I think it was the Parliament building that was trying to be destroyed. So there's a lot of... I don't necessarily celebrate the idea of Guy Fawkes. I celebrate more the idea of a revolution, but I'm also starting to not like the word revolution. I had a long conversation with Pauly P about that, because it seems like a circular event.
Yeah.
So we definitely need to get out of the terms of a revolution and more in the lines of an evolution, in my mm-hmm. personal opinion.
Well, or you can take the Terrence McKenna version and go with the I Ching, where it's either a constant spiral in or a constant spiral out, whichever one you want to think. And that's if you're an optimist or pessimist.
Right, but it's not breaking a cycle. Yeah. It's keeping a cycle going.
I think I actually do subscribe to that, not to get off topic. I subscribe to that just based on the sole fact of, you know, I'm a huge fan of Mark Twain. And Mark Twain said something where, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, it only rhymes. And that makes a lot more sense in a spiral than it would in a circle, as in a revolution, right? So it just, it rhymes. It's smaller or larger as it goes in or out. And yeah, it's an interesting little philosophy. But yeah, I've been good. And I hope you guys have been good as well. And, Adam Pierce bringing it in.
Yeah, had to highlight it.
It's definitely the opposite, of evolution, etymology.
That's a word, isn't it? Well, you try it, Stan, and I'll try it.
Yeah. Etymologically.
There it is.
Etymologically. Yeah, but I got to do it because of you, so. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's why I was giving it to you first. There's some words like philanthropy. I've gotten better with it, but that word used to give me the...
Nailed it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I used to have the biggest amount of trouble with it, but etymology is something I think that is very important, especially if you check out the interview that me and Stan did with Carl Lentz, and you start learning a little bit about the deception of different dictionaries and what's being accepted versus when these certain dictionaries came out and how they were looked at by society, but now how they're being embraced. So it's very weird. I even did an interview today with Mark Passio, which is on my Patreon channel now. So it's a hint, a way that you could go check it out. Early access, this point on my Patreon. The video will be out tomorrow, but we talked about a lot about that and kind of got into that topic as well. So
real quick, you were talking about, you know, the whole anonymous mask, Guy Fawkes, you know, that whole thing. I think it's a very important lesson that you glossed over, a lot like the etymology portion of things, right? Where words might mean different things. Stories also mean different things. And remember, there's always two sides to every story. It doesn't matter if it's history or not. So that was the one thing when we had that conversation about Guy Fawkes and the gunpowder treason and plot, I was like, ooh, that is extremely interesting to actually dig into that and see it being used as a form of inciting revolution or inciting
rebellion. Some sort.
Yeah, right.
So, because I mean, ironically, there is a lot of stuff going on in London, as I think, mm-hmm. not, you know, maybe all over the UK, but London, I think.
Germany and France are being torn up right now by their own, you know, people. So that's awesome. I mean, in my opinion, If those who were meant to represent you are not representing you anymore, we're lucky. We're in America, and our Bill of Rights actually says we have the right to take them back over and get rid of them. So it's interesting. And it was just reprinted on the $100 bill. And I saw you putting the bills out. So if people read their $100 bills, if you guys have one laying around, go ahead and read it. There's a nice little excerpt in there about overthrowing your government.
I don't want that dirty fiat. I don't have it.
Right. It's interesting, though, why the Federal Reserve would print about overthrowing your government, you know, not soon after Trump got elected. It's pretty weird.
That is crazy.
Yeah, right on the hundo.
What are you thinking, Stan, with everything that's going on right now, considering, you know, we've been discussing a lot of things in regards to geopolitics, national politics, and things like that. And we've been looking into, you know, Trump. We've been looking into freedom and liberty. Now we're at this kind of point in time where, regardless of voter fraud, any of that other stuff, voter integrity, mail-in ballots, it's our country seems to be extremely divided. I'd like to get your thoughts, you know, like what you think what's going on with the election.
Well, yeah, you know, I had a guy here ask me, he goes, so who do you think's going to win? I said, well, if you actually took a people's poll and you could just take a view of what's been going on with all the, you know, people in the streets that are supporting Trump, if it was actual per person people's vote, I would say Trump had this down, hands down, right? But due to the Electoral College, we don't know who in there is bought and paid for, what fraud's going on within those 400 group of people. And then we have the, you know, all this, like you said, ballot and mail in and all this stuff. So it's just one big circle jerk, one big play. And I don't participate. This is what I told him. I said, I don't participate in this, this what they call an election, because until I see and feel that it actually means something and it's counted, then I'm not going to participate, because as far as I can see, it's one big game. I may post things that when you see me posting things about Trump, it's because I'm pointing out what the media is lying to you about. It's not because I'm 100% in Trump's pocket. I'm just pointing out what you're being lied to about. But I don't participate in elections. I don't vote because in Florida here, our vote is 3%. 3%. You can just go look on any, look at any, you know, how much does your vote count in whatever state. And every state is different on how much your vote counts. Then if you take it further, due to the Electoral College, you don't know who's being paid for and whatnot. Literally, some people say your vote is literally like nothing. It's an illusion of choice. You know, an illusion of these things that that what you do matters, you know, and that's how they've kind of built this whole structure. So from my perspective, I do not participate. Until I actually see some resolve in the big structure of things, because look what's going on. I turned on the TV maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes for the last two days and heard all I needed to hear. And it was the same old crap. You know what I mean? For me, I'm just like, no, one big play, one big show. They're just all putting on one big televised, you know, TV program. And so I'm like, yep, same old stuff. So it's for me, it really doesn't matter what happens with who, until things actually change. There's actually things that happen, you know, until those things happen, then I will be more inclined to take part in those. That's kind of like why we're here, right? We're trying to implement some kind of conscious change here and some actual motion in that direction. And all of us are, many more of us are getting aware of it, but on the deeper level, what is really happening? Like I said, there's millions protesting in other countries, but is anything changing?
Have you guys heard something about Attorney General Barr supposedly sending in military to go to, like, where they're counting votes, armed military?
So there's been a bunch of discussion about, you know, what was truly planned. I haven't seen a whole lot of evidence of that. But it wouldn't surprise me if there was a military force put into contested areas in order to have and make sure that A, there's peace, and then do a secondary operation of some sort. And I was hoping we'd get into this at a certain point in time as far as what might be the motivations and kind of not necessarily speculate, but run down through the scenarios of what could be going on right now, because I there's a lot of stuff floating out there, even within the last 2 days, that are very, very interesting, to say the least. And obviously us as people who aren't privy to intelligence briefings, we are going to have to sit and speculate for a little bit until we see the actual outcome. But there's some interesting stuff. Real quick to talk to, you know, Stan about the Electoral College. As of right now, with the system the way it is, I'm a fan of the Electoral College for a couple of different reasons. I like the way it was originally set up. I don't like the way it is now, but here's something funny and extremely interesting. And you can actually find this on Fox, CNN, anywhere else. Guess who's voting in New York in the Electoral College?
Hillary Clinton?
Oh, yeah. She's going to vote in New York for the Electoral College. So you're not wrong, man. I mean, there is something funky going on. I think it is a show. There is some weird crap going on. I don't know what to make of, you know, even I've said it. I don't know how many times I've been on to you cats or talked to you guys via phone.
Too many freaking times, man.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it. I don't know how many times this thing is either going to, you know, it's obvious it's going to end really good or really fucking bad. And that's all there is to it. Trump is either absolutely on our side and he's doing everything he's going to do, or it's a giant setup. But here's the deal. I've never once heard anybody ever say, hey, we should wake up the population and your news is lying to you and all of that stuff. I've never heard anybody do that unless they want one thing, and that is a civil war. That's the best way to do it. Divide the country in half, make them cut themselves down, you know, make them cut themselves down.
I mean, it's very well possible. I mean, that's why
look at all this Lincoln talk.
For anybody who follows me on Twitter, I said yesterday, me and Eric had a talk, and he made a tweet, and I made a retweet, and I made some tweets of my own. Word of the month: insurgency,
insurrection.
Well, insurgency. Yeah. Insurrection. It's all the same thing. It's all going in. But insurrection. Insurrection. And you know, when you think about that, that's some heavy stuff. You know, I mean, like we talked about, that's when we're talking about treason, and we haven't really seen, aside from people wanting to call someone like Edward Snowden a traitor and wanting to say he committed treason, we haven't really seen the kind of treason that our founding fathers had seen, you know, where people were turning against the good of the people for the benefit of a few. And hopefully people will start waking up and start seeing this. I mean, I'm trying to have faith in my fellow man and woman here in the Federation of States that we won't succumb to stupidity. I know that there's going to be some idiots out there, but you know, people really just need to think about their actions and make sure that they're doing what's best for them and other people. Because if we fall into this trap, I mean, we can see where we have been kept divided and more things are continually dividing us. And you can see all the division this year under a microscope since everybody's sitting at home for the most part. You know, we're having a chance to watch this as if it's like a television show as it's occurring. So, I mean, we can see this stuff happening and we need to not let it happen. Unfortunately, it's been taking place, and the things that have happened already is a precursor. If we can learn from that and not let it succumb to that with, you know, us getting violent and being divided as a nation, because I started not to be a fan of Bill Maher, but I do watch his show and he said something best. You can look at the map and you can see all the different red and blue states, but really everything's purple, just purple, you know, and it's so intermixed. He actually said purple like Mitch McConnell's hands, which I thought was great. He's got the old
hands. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. I mean,
it's in marriages. It's at home. It's in my home. It's everywhere. So it's not like it's not like the Civil War time when you had a Mason-Dixon line dividing a country. It's your neighbor. It's everyone around you.
No, but that's one of the most important things that ever took place in my opinion in recorded human history was division done right. Right. So this idea of not just dividing somebody, but also see something, say something. Right. So everybody's afraid to actually be themselves to their neighbor and really sit around a table, break bread, do all of those things, because they're afraid at some point in time their neighbor might snitch on them. And it doesn't even have to be as simple as that. It could be, you know, all of a sudden, you know that you have X amount of food in your house. Now your neighbor knows. And if something breaks off, now they know, you know. I've been ridiculously transparent with all of my neighbors and have tried to bring in this level of, you know, inclusion, right? I'll help you out. You help me out if something breaks off, and just be real, be a friend, do all of that stuff. Talk to my family, talk to the people at work. Let them know that the biggest thing we could possibly do right now is unite as people. No matter which way this thing goes, the sun's going to rise in the morning and we're all going to be people. We all know each other. We should all love each other as we love ourselves. And I don't think that happens enough. And to be honest with you, maybe one of the best philosophers of our time, and it's going to sound really stupid, but I think Mike Tyson actually said it right. The reason why we're all able to do all of these things are things like the internet. It's a great tool. But everybody's afraid to get punched in the face for the shit they say. You know, if you said some of that shit to me in my face, I mean, I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to incite violence. But damn, like, you don't say that just for the sole fact that I might. And that doesn't happen anymore. And I think there's a hard line that is the internet that is saving people from getting punched in the face. And they're saying these things that they are hurting people, and they shouldn't be hurting people. We should all be including people. And I'm guilty of it just like anybody else. Go through my tweets. I've never deleted one. You know? Go. Take a look. You know? But I think we all gotta get together. That's all there is about this. It is purple. I don't agree with Bill Maher. We should be as purple as possible. I've tried to live in as many purple states as possible because that's where I feel comfortable. I like that tension. creates diamonds and shit. So go on.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
So what's been going on in the last couple of days with this thing anyways is, you know, who's winning? Is somebody winning? I haven't been paying attention. So
nope.
What like are they projecting?
Everybody else has, we're losing. We're all losing. From what I've seen, North Carolina was at 94%. It was, I do believe, something like 400,000 votes. Trump was like 400,000 votes or something over, and North Carolina wouldn't call it for Trump. But Arizona didn't call it for Trump or for Biden or Trump, but Fox News actually called it for Trump yesterday afternoon about 4:15. And then they had to rescind that it wasn't there, and the margins were so off, it was ridiculous. This whole thing has been, for lack of a better term, a shit show. If you look at all of the states, just try and do, this is very true, Denise. When you take correlations, right, we talk about like taking all of these grains of sand and then having to recalculate it into a pile. Look at all of the states that had the harshest lockdowns regarding COVID, and now look at all the most contested states in this election and figure out who's running them, and then figure out who's doing this. So we shouldn't forget COVID through an election. We should actually be taking all of those lessons that we learned as far as who made what political, how they did it, why they were doing it, and speculate on those things. And then look at all of the states as far as the map. And I bet you they overlay almost to. I bet you they overlay almost perfectly. And a lot of people don't, you know, they've already forgot about COVID, which is cool for some, but I'm not cool with that. You know, England is maybe, you know, I know London, Germany and France, they were all saying they're going to lock down. I know that New York, Pennsylvania, as far as Philly and New Jersey, they're doing 10 p.m. curfews because of all of this stuff breaking off. And it's just not necessary, you know?
Yeah, Italy's locking down too. I have a friend in Italy, and she said things are locking down there as well. Curfews, what? Things are closed. There was a video that came out that I watch stopthecrime.net. Is anybody out there? Anybody in the chat in there watch Deborah Tavares, stopthecrime.net? I posted on the Telegram too. But I've been watching her for years, but she posted a video of, I think they were in London, and there's like stores like closed everywhere. They've emptied out. Like there's nobody in the streets, barely anybody, like literally barely anybody out there. And there's nothing going on there, and everything's on shutdown. In Australia, I know they've got it really bad, but you know, it's just probably a matter of time. I don't know what they're going to try to do here. I'd be speculating totally on the most part, but if this is a coup, then, you know, if this whole thing is a fraud, this whole election, and however it goes, like you said, to get the Civil War, that's one of the first things I thought it was to do, is to incite that. Because now they've got, with the Q thing, they've got every tool, they've used every tool to, you know, siphon out all the patriots, you know, everybody that's going to go against them. It's like, all right, now to send out the hit teams, you know, the drones, the whole Jade Helm, you know, thing, that AI controlled system, and boom, just put it out there, done. They got DNA, they got all the technologies. So is that going to happen? I have no idea, but
I don't think so. I mean, it is definitely a possibility. I have conversations, because everybody I work with, I've said it many times, they all lean left, if not liberal, right? My personal opinion on this, and this is just me, there's multiple different scenarios, but from what I know, right, so from what I know and from what has been going on, one of the general themes from what Trump has done for 4 years is a simple truth that you can't tell somebody, you have to show them, right? And that's been going on for a long time. Like he basically said, hey, if there's Russian collusion, go find it. You know, he's actually admitted, like, yes, investigate my entire family, go get it. You know, I can't tell you guys this, the news isn't going to tell you it, go get it and then prosecute me. Right. And it stems all the way back from his election all the way till now. my personal opinion is the graphs I've seen as far as this election, a couple of different things I've had to check for myself, talking to people in a lot of the contested states, because I have family and friends in Arizona, Colorado, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And I live in North Carolina. I mean, like, I could talk to all of these people and just get a grasp of boots on the ground, you know, kind of thing. And I'm going to tell you that this, I think this is a botched coup. I think it's a botched coup. There was a reason why Trump moved election integrity investigation into the DHS.
Right. But listen, either way, it's going to be crappy, because if Trump was to get it, the Democrats are going to say blah blah blah, fraud, fraud, fraud. If and same thing other way around. There's no way it's going to. And then there's talk about Supreme Court. And, you know, I've been hearing a lot of mention in the chat about Russell J. Gould. Now, in case people haven't checked out me and Stan's interviews with Russell, I'm going to actually get back in contact with him now that everything's going on, because he said that when and if everything goes to the Supreme Court, that they would be in his playing field and it would be showtime, baby. Right? And that
said, right? Pretty much.
We've offered to go to DC and gather up some folk and go out there and film and go live. So, I mean, we would like to see something take place. We would like to get behind and support anybody who's going to help bring about change. Is the system that Russell J. Gould wants to bring about the system that we need? In my opinion, I don't think so. There are some things that I think that Russell J. Gould has done and has taught that we can utilize in moving forward, along with things that we can gather from people like Anna von Reitz, David Straits, Carl Lentz, Christopher James, and all these other different people in the freedom movement. So I don't really want to quickly dismiss Russell, but what I will say is it's been on my end, it's been, I can see this has been stretched out for 21 to 24 years, which is a long ass time. So, this is like make it or break it. If you can't walk the walk now, then quit talking the talk, because it's just gibberish and BS at that point, in my opinion. But I mean, again, I want to see somebody step up. We need people to lead. We need people to inspire others. You know, we don't need to do anything violent. We don't need to do anything that's disruptive to society, but we need to stand up. And we need to, well, I shouldn't say
a redress of grievances, right? Yeah, an actual redress of grievances. Actual, you know?
Yeah. Actual, and we really, redress. You know, it's so simple. When enough people get tired of it and enough people say, we're not going to let you divide us. We're going to stand together. We're going to stand together, united. United we stand. When enough people do that, nothing is going to be able to stand against the people. And it's such a simple equation. I just got to repeat it so much, because it just, if I can just drill it in people's heads, if people can start understanding, you inspire, you get your friends together. They get their friends. They get their friends' friends. And then we start getting a whole lot of people.
I perceive the elements of that, though, like how we consciously move in that direction is like put together this redress of grievances. And go forward with it, like huge. Take it to the Supreme Court, you know? Because what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to all these people that have created these crimes, committed these crimes that we know about, that nothing ever happens? Nothing.
Well, and why doesn't it happen? Why aren't they prosecuted? Like, there's a reason. Because
everybody's in everybody's pocket. Everybody's on stake or in their pocket. And then they throw another big event to throw you off. I mean, what's going to be the next big event? You know, well, there's probably something that's going to be coming.
Hey, real quick, while I'm thinking about it, because it's like halfway mark here, and I didn't want to get too far into it, I did want to mention that me and Stan are going to be going live tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, an hour later than the stream started tonight. We're going to do our second community call-in show, be open forum. So the link will be in the video description tomorrow night. If you want to join us on the actual stream, we would definitely encourage that. But just for the quick moment, I just wanted to take a second and just promote that, so people are aware of the fact that this thing is happening tomorrow night. community call-in show, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 o'clock p.m. PST. Sorry, man, just had to do the plug.
It's all right.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I guess to go along with the redress of grievance, right? You're going to see a lot. I think Trump was on his whole thing, you know, saying a press conference right when we started this thing, talking about redressing his grievances regarding the counts,
the election,
on all of this stuff. Right, right. So as far as everything being a gigantic club and people being on the pockets of who and human compromise regarding who did what, and we have, you know, blackmail on you and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it's a big, like Carlin said, big damn club. We ain't in it, right? But the beauty is that we actually fuel this club, right? So we are the fuel for the fire. We are the way that this club is able to do their thing. And enough people have said that is extremely cliche. But the one thing that I've, you know, noticed with what's going on in this election, and I've said it I don't know how many times, and I'm so glad I got skewered on Satoshi's Sean channel with Beatles and everybody else when I said, hey, like Mark Twain said, if it mattered, they wouldn't let you do it. So it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes, right?
Yeah. I didn't vote either.
That's what we're dealing with.
Just so I can make it right now. All three of us, none of us voted.
Right. Right. But I'll tell you this.
We don't participate in those reindeer games. It's bullshit.
No, but I will absolutely tell you this.
I'm not going to dismiss that. And, you know, I'm definitely going to support your decision to choose.
Dude, I've had that you know philosophy regarding voting for a long time, and when Donald Trump was elected, I was like, "Holy shit, this is either the biggest ploy in human history, or I've been wrong for like 16 years." Like, "Holy shit, what the hell just happened?" You know, I watched the whole thing, and it went like clockwork. And then all of a sudden, I think this year might be where, you know, the Democrats—they never thought they would lose. So what are they doing right now? They're trying to ensure victory, but did they or did they not possibly get caught in a hoax? And if all of this stuff does work out to where it's Trump, is he truly the leader that the people in either the Q movement or, you know, the America First movement and Trump movement, is he truly the guy that's going to do what he's going to do? And why would he actually do it? I mean, those are my questions that I constantly cycle in my head with every word that the guy
utters. Yeah, because nothing's happened. Well, as far as we can see, no one's been arrested, nothing. We hear all this stuff about pedophiles.
Well, let's rewind.
Disagree with that.
You got Maxwell, you got, you know, Epstein and Weinstein. Yep. I want to know if they're really arrested. Has anybody actually seen them in their cell? Or is this a ploy? Is this one of those, you know, double jeopardy, you know, let's just arrest them. Now they're gone. Guards. They're off the hook. They make it look like something's going on. I don't know, man. This could be happening. Are they really arrested? Guards. I hope so.
I don't like the idea of doing nothing and trusting the plan. I have to be a proactive person.
But you're on the same time, I think we need something like the Q movement. We need something like that to get all this corruption that's so deep seated. I mean, underground, you know, on maybe possibly other planets, you know, remote islands and places we've never seen or heard of before. You know what I mean? So there's so many things that could be going on that we're not aware of that we need some kind of deep intel like that. I mean, what are we going to do with our, you know, our weapons and go around and get the guys that own all the hardware? You know what I mean?
Right.
Directed energy weapons from space and the rods of God and all these high-tech weapons, you know what I mean? We need some kind of insider help. You know, there's a, I like referring to these Netflix shows, this Barbarian show came on Netflix, right? It's like a 7 or 8 series episode, 45, 50 minutes each. And it was interesting because it was about Rome and all these clans that lived outside and how they united to come together to defeat Rome. So if anybody wants to check out Barbarians, they are speaking another language, so they're voiced over in English. But it was an interesting everything we're talking about. I found it very interesting how it consciously.
Now, where are you watching this at?
Netflix.
So have you just become like a Netflix junkie recently?
No, I get it free with things. So when it's late at night and I'm here, you're justifying
because you're like, oh, I get it for free. Well, I'm not paying for it. I'm asking how much time do you consume.
I swear.
How much time do you consume watching Netflix, Dan?
Well, I don't sit and watch it. I kind of like, while I'm researching stuff that I'm doing for my car parts, I'll have it playing. You know,
I'm just giving you hell because when I first met you, I didn't even think that you would have touched Netflix.
Dude, well, I'm not really a TV person. But like I said, there's certain things that I see that catch my attention. And then I think I should watch this. And there's certain little nuggets that I get out of them. And there's always something I get out of it.
There is a 3-part series. I don't know if you've ever listened to it. It's a podcast called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. And I will listen to this guy legitimately read the instructions for you to replace your car parts because he's got such a sick-ass voice. And he is like one of the best narrators of all time, in my opinion. And he's really good with history, well-researched. And it's 3 parts, 6-something hours long, and it's all about the barbarians. It's called the Gauls, right? The Gauls, G-A-U-L. And it was how they took over Rome, you know, as far as history is concerned.
My family were Gauls.
And then, yeah, and then ended up swooping up into England.
Yours was too, probably, Eric.
Absolutely, yep. We were all barbarians, and we took over
the
Rome.
Irish,
and then we
the Welsh, up and took, the Scottish.
Yep. So that was by far one of my favorite episodes. He also does a really good one on World War I, World War II, and it involves the Reconstruction. And he delves really deep into like how World War I was the Reconstruction of the world through nothing but oil in tanks, and why World War I was so fucking, you know, pertinent within that. Dude, just go listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. It's one of my favorite things ever. It may not all be right, and it probably isn't, because our history, like, we're lied to constantly. But there's always those little tidbits of truth, that 20%, you know, that you can take and go, yep, oil changed the world right there, and that's why. And you can still grab all that stuff and go. But
I had to highlight this in particular because and Polly P.
I was told to do that.
He can tell me if I'm correct or not, but if I'm not mistaken, I think it might have been Stan's fault that Pauly P got caught up binge watching the 100.
I'm telling you guys haven't seen it. You gotta watch it. It's got some seriously good nuggets. Get past the first 2 episodes and check it out, man. It had me hooked.
But as long as you guys have to watch these things.
I watched it before and then stopped watching it, and now I'm back into watching it. I'm like, I'm right to tail end of season 2.
Mm-hmm. So you know the whole like meme and the movie where you put the glasses on and you see what you never normally saw before, and all of a sudden you put the glasses on and it says obey on the sign and
they
all
live?
That jazz.
They live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to
watch Roddy Piper.
You have to watch. Yes. Yeah. Speaking of a Gaul, you have to watch those movies with those glasses on. You have to see, like, you know, the messages that are being pulled across. And also
remember Hollywood, how Hollywood's doing the projections. Have you seen the movie Songbird? Have you seen that?
Well, nobody saw the movie yet because it hasn't came out.
How did we get
out
of the movies? We were talking about the election.
This
is all part of it.
Thank you, Eric.
This is all kind of part of it, right?
Yeah.
So, but if you watch the trailer for Songbird, check that out.
It's like COVID-23 stuff, and it's like hardcore version of lockdowns, and it's like it's almost as if it's a message saying, "Hey, prepare yourself for this reality because it's coming to a reality near you."
That's all they do. That is legitimately, they're trying to tell you what the plan is, right? And we're all sitting here with, like, you know, people in the Q movement, trust the plan, trust the plan.
We're all
on
here,
trust the plan
I'm
on the
I'm
other
gonna
side.
Trust
too.
The plan, like, sit here and not do nothing because Donald Trump's gonna save me.
Hey, look at Mars Life sitting my van down
now,
by the
again,
river.
I'm not saying this like I don't support Donald Trump. I do. I'm not for or against, but I do support what he's trying to do. If he's trying to restore the republic, I'm all for that. But I'm not going to sit here and trust a plan and do nothing at all. That is pointless because I'm going to make sure I cover my assets any way I can.
Right.
And every way I can.
A huge one of those, you know, to that point, right? So if you look at France, you look at Germany, they're all burning, doing their thing. There's a guy that's been doing studies for decades regarding what a 2-party system does to a country compared to a, you know, multiple party system. France, I think, has like 7, and they have to hand a dictionary out a week before you even go and vote for anything. And it's just parliament, right? It's not even a real thing. I mean, according to an American, right? We'll tell them that they're, you're not free. You're not a common law country. You kind of suck at life. But to be honest with you, the stuff that happens in this country regarding this duality, it happens within everything from our politics to our religion. It happens to every way that we go throughout life. I like Coke, you like Pepsi. I like, Trump, you like Biden. And our social engineering and the way we have been put to all of this stuff, if you start saying the stuff that you just said, Rice, to somebody else, they'll say, well, if you didn't vote, you can't complain.
Yeah.
And I will sit there and say, I can complain all the fuck I want. You just don't have to listen, right? Like, I have freedom of speech. My freedoms do not stop where your feelings start. I'm sorry. And people have forgotten that due to this duality, due to this just dichotomy of garbage. And if we were to all sit there and go, you know what? If I want to wear a shirt that says fuck Rice Crypto on it and Rice gets mad at me,
I'd buy it for you.
You probably would. But you're a cool cat, right? So some other people would get all like bent out of shape.
Their pennies all right up in a even bunch.
The people that even follow you, even though you bought me the shirt, would probably get fucked up about it. And here's the thing is that, you know what? We've all lost this concept of opinions are not facts. Just because my shirt says Rice Crypto sucks balls and fuck him does not mean that Rice Crypto indeed sucks balls and he should get fucked. It does not have anything to do with the two. It's an opinion, right? We used to be able to have those. Now they're all facts. And in my honest opinion,
we know it's on Eric's mind, by the way, just so everybody's aware.
Fucking fuck Rice.
He's all about my balls and having sex and stuff.
Well, it's Let me circle back real quick. I know we're supposed to be talking about election, back. But
let's talk about the erection.
I'm gonna talk about the erection. The show The 100 has a lot of spiritual stuff for me because there's a lot of people playing God in that series. So there, for me, when I watch some things like this, there's more involved in me just being entertained. I'm really seeing a lot of lessons in this, and it just so much in how people are playing God in that series and what you do in certain situations. Like, you could watch that series and go like, oh my God, what would I do in that situation? You know, cause there's this like either all people die or just a small few. And that's exactly what goes on. You know, it's like, okay, you know, sacrifice the few to save the many, you know,
the trolley paradigm.
That's
risk to reward ratio too.
Right.
So companies do that all the time. They figure out if they have a damaged part, is it worth us recalling it, or is it worth us letting people get hurt? What's going to cost us more? And that's how most people
What's the ethical thing to do, right? It's either morals over money. You know, money over morals type thing.
Yeah, no, but when it comes to business, they try to say morals don't go. I get what you're saying. I understand. Our humanity.
It's about the bottom line.
You're very correct right there in that last statement, Rice. When we were in Vegas, did you end up taking one of those BMW self-driving cars and get the whole spiel from the guy?
Do what?
Did you take that self-driving BMW and get the whole spiel from the guy that was sitting in the front seat?
No.
You didn't? Oh, man, that was one of my favorite things to happen in Vegas. I mean, I got to meet Charlie Lee and do a whole bunch of stuff, and we hung out. We had a lot of good – we were in freaking Mike Tyson's mansion at a party, and I was still like – I'm still stoked on the BMW ride that I took that anybody can take. It was one of my favorite things ever because they actually explained the trolley paradigm, right? They explained this you know – if you had the ability to pull one switch and say, okay, do I take out all four of these people or do I just take out the one? Do you pull the switch and switch the tracks to take out the one person knowing that you're going to have to kill somebody, or do you take all of them out? And I was asking him about that, and I'm like, so how like good are these algorithms you have regarding this? And he goes, that's why this guy is in the front seat with his hands on the wheel.
Nice.
It's not that good yet. They can't, give a machine morals yet. So they're close.
I want to highlight this just because I like when people try to call me out on stuff. This person obviously had
you are not spiritual.
Yeah. How would you? I mean, am I a spiritual person, Eric?
Dude, you told me to get into the Bible more than anybody I've ever seen for multiple reasons. Multiple reasons. Not just to talk about Jesus or anything else like that, but to also look into Justinian deception and like the use of money. I mean, there has been multiple times you have told me to do things that would reflect that you are probably one of the more spiritual cats I have conversations with in this depth about all subjects. Go.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't cover a whole lot on my channel specifically.
You know what I'd like to say to that? People who say people aren't spiritual is missing the point. Because every being is spiritual.
Just a matter of where you're at on your spiritual journey.
Because the whole thing is just about lifting the veil. Because everything is just consciousness.
It's right here. And I've got like Christian books on Hindu. I've got like books on Buddha. And then I got my economic stuff. So, I mean, it's...
I'll tell you what's
spirituality, but it's cool if people want to be closed-minded and think that way, because I just want to let people know that you may think something, but just because you think something doesn't mean that is the reality of what the reality is. So sometimes
that's what Eric just said,
right?
And I'll tell you what, for people who don't think Rice is spiritual, me and Rice have had some pretty great spiritual conversations. So
probably be a work in progress. I would definitely.
And we all are. We all are.
Yeah, definitely. We all are. We're always learning.
Go ahead. Stan.
What's that?
Stan, what were you saying? What were you saying, Stan? Because I had a hunch you were getting onto something good.
I was just saying that, that every person is a spiritual person. There's consciousness is just consciousness. It's a matter of lifting the veil. So there is no higher self. There is no higher consciousness. These are just terms to kind of locate yourself where you as a ego think you are, because ultimately there is no separation. We are one consciousness experiencing itself in individual forms, and whether we're doing it consciously or consciously or unconsciously is where we see the veils lifting. So this is like if we were saying, like you were saying earlier, Eric, someone, you say something and someone makes you angry. Well, nobody makes you angry. You make yourself angry. It depends on how you respond or react. Now, if something does something to me, it's like, okay, I see this person is being unconscious. No matter what they say, whether they're typing it or saying it in my face, I can recognize their unconscious acts because of the pain and the fear that they have with inside themselves.
Right.
And the judgments they have and the expectations they have of me, right? Or anyone else. So when you reach that point, then you no longer react to things.
Exactly.
Right? And that's not a higher level. It's just a veil that's lifted, right? So you keep clearing these veils that you think you are and what you think you know. And then the worst part of it is you develop the spiritual ego. That is worse than the regular ego. and that's the one you just move from ego to spiritual ego, and you're in the same plane, right? Now, when you really have those really conscious and ego deaths, I've had like five of them. You just tears come to your eyes, and everybody's ego death could be different, but you have this realization. It's, oh my God, I have to face myself. That was me.
It's hard sometimes.
And then let that go. And then now you recognize it in other people. And I had this conversation with you, Rice. It's like, once you reach that point of recognize that in others, you no longer have, you no longer express that.
For somebody saying that. Yeah. When somebody says something like that, you're like,
I was planning on putting a little bit more attention into trying to do some content that is more on the topic of spirituality. Actually, I'm going to be doing something with Jason, the Public Awakening, and talking about spirituality. So, I mean, it is very important. It just hasn't been something that I, aside from telling people, you know, I mean, a lot, if you take what I'm saying, a lot of times it is spiritual talk. I'm just not putting what people would recognize in a religious sense into things. But ultimately, I mean, that is a core of a lot of this stuff. When I started researching and going down these rabbit holes and figuring out somehow they're all interconnected, history, religion, spirituality is like at the core of a lot of this.
Well, it's because it's the original social engineering. It's the original upbringing, right? It's the original formative youth. You know, the formation of you as a person when you're young is based on who you were as far as your father or your mother in a certain setting, right? So you're just being we shouldn't call it, you know, revolution, but recycled into something, you know, we've had different talks about
conditioned and programmed. And each one of us was conditioned and programmed from birth.
So nature versus nurture, right? What would we do if we found out that there were different points of our DNA that actually give us the memories of our father, but only in a certain subset, right? As males, you know, what if those chromosomes had those things to actually say for us? And that's what the Bible actually meant by sins of the father. You know, we would find that out in science and it would be a huge breakthrough. We'd be like, holy shit. But if we were all in a paradigm that God didn't exist and there was no religion because we all had to live in, let's say, old school Russian communism, right? Where if you were religious, you were dead. I mean, you wouldn't be able to figure that out. That wouldn't be something that would happen. Only in a free society, like a truly free society, not America. America's not free. Only in a truly free society are we able to be ourselves. And I think it requires every single one of us to go out and be as free as possible. Break all of the laws that you don't agree with. That's the number one thing I could say, but also be smart enough to cover your ass once you've broken those laws and judge accordingly. You know, if I don't agree with a law, I'm not gonna abide by it. That's just bar none. And when somebody says, dude, you're being an asshole. No, I'm not. I'm just not doing that. Am I hurting anybody? No, nobody's property has been hurt. No, nothing is being done that's crappy. If everybody did that, these elections, this map wouldn't matter because the government, the federal government anyway, the president only has two jobs actually. One, protect America and do foreign diplomacy. And two, protect our personal property. And he's only got it in a certain capacity. And then that fractals down all the way to your county and your city, and they're more supposed to be more in your life. Your sheriff of your town is supposed to have more power than the president over you in any given day. And that's the way this is designed. But for some reason, we're all up in arms about what the fuck is happening with this presidential election. Maybe that is truly the Great Awakening. Maybe it's supposed to be us saying, well, why the fuck do I care who's talking to some dude in China? Well, it makes a lot of
sense. Why is it even worth the idea of people talking about a civil war?
Well, because it's all about money. There's never been any war that wasn't a banker's war.
And Biden worth, like, the Republican and Democrat Party worth fighting for?
Dude, it's not even worth your life. Like, your life, in my opinion.
It's not worth my time.
Fucking A.
Not that stuff. Not that game. No, my game is trying to bring back that checks and balance.
Ooh. And where does that check and balance start and end?
I don't know.
With
where
you.
What would a real leader look like, right? For me, in my vision, in my perspective.
Ooh, this is good.
Let's start with a foundation, right? What do we need? We need shelter. We need food, right? Shelter and food. So why don't we focus on shelter and food for everybody? Probably mainly food. Why can't a leader say, okay, we need farmers, right? So we bring back the farmers. We make sure everybody can have a farm close to them. Or we can even say, hey, everybody is encouraged to learn gardening, right? So rather than have big industry, why don't we educate the human people? Like, that's a real leader to me. It's like,
re-education.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we got, you know, 200,000 farms this month. We got this many people fed. We got homeless off the street because they're working in the farms. Now there's little shelters built for them. You could have places for those who just can't participate, and there's little sectors there. But to me, that, you know, starting with the foundation of things is food, shelter, water, clean air and water, and all that kind of stuff. And then we can could go out into this technology realm, but we got to keep the people fed and security and shelter and try to help the people that are evil. Like, maybe they can be saved. Say, hey, you know what? You've got this issue. You've got reform. If you can reform, then you're reformed. If not, then you got to sit in this house behind a cage, you know, but you've got a chance to reform. You know what I mean? But start with those foundations. But we're doing the wrong things. It's like, oh, how much money can we make? How much industry? And we're destroying the planet before we even get things right.
What the hell's that?
So to me, it's all screwed up. What do you got there, E?
This is a gigantic wolf pack. Guess which one's the leader?
The one in the back.
The guy with the blue arrow. Everybody else. Well,
he's by himself. He's by himself.
And he's all the way in the back. Leaders lead from behind. Leaders lead from a place where they can see their entire people and make sure everybody is good and doing what they've delegated everybody to do. It doesn't mean that they are, you know, it doesn't mean that they have to be in the front and they have to be on the camera the whole time and they have to be in front of everybody. All that means is that, and this is one of the reasons why I've really had to, I think that's one of my spiritual ego things. I thought I would have to lead, right? Even as a drummer in a band, I was like, oh my God, you know, no, you lead from behind. You know, you're the spine, you lead from behind. Just it's one of my things. I think I was put on earth to learn the hard way. And that one picture, that one image, because I'm a visual person, visual learner. I saw that and all of a sudden I completely flipped everything and things got easier. Right. So the way I discussed things with people wasn't like, hey, you have to understand this because these are the facts. It was, yo, you can go and look this stuff up yourself or you can rely on me. Either way, you're assigning an authority. I would rather have the authority be you personally looking those things up. Just understand that sometimes when you look those things up, you may come across weird sources and it might not be right. You know what I mean? And then have a good conversation from this energy of empathy, this energy of, instead of apathy, empathy, and just say, hey, I honestly care. Use their name, like Stan, I honestly do care about you because I honestly do, and be completely transparent. You know, I honestly do care about you. I would love to see you go down the right direction. I've had multiple conversations, even this week, one of my favorites, I won't give the example, but it was such a big thing for a guy I've worked with for 2 years where he bought me a tool, engraved something on it, and then handed it to me and said, I'm really sorry that that's the way everything was going. And I said, dude, it's no problem. I appreciate the tool. It wasn't expensive. I think the tool was like $12, but he used to harp on me for not having one, right? So it was his way of still giving me a jab and then me still being able to say, hey, I got through to you. That's freaking awesome, you know? And we had that conversation. And then at the end of the day, he reiterated it because I know he's that type of leader. And I am also that type of leader, and you know, we'd butt heads and stuff like that. But it was only until I really, you know, gave him this idea, like, dude, just understand that you have to think a little bit, you know, before you talk, or you have to do these things. Your idea isn't the only idea. There's a million ways to skin this cat. You know, there's your opinion is not a fact. You know, and give him this idea. This isn't the exact idea that I gave him to give him, you know, all of a sudden he ends up giving me a tool or anything. But it was one of those things. It was kind of personal because our shit is pretty tight and I didn't want to, you know, just blow it up here on the internet for everybody to know. But it was one of those deals. And it was really a good breakthrough with the guy. And it was, you know, I honestly believe that picture, you know, leading from behind is the most important thing we can all do. We can't shove shit down anybody's throat anymore. And the internet taught us to do it, you know?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the philosophy that I try to push with the practice change. I mean, just being the change you want to see. Don't do anything more than let your actions prove who you are and what you're about. I think that's an important thing.
I would agree with that.
Now, I had to take a step away twice because I'm cooking a lasagna that just finished up.
Nice. So,
oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited about this one. So
mail me some lasagna, like some ballots.
Yeah.
Can I get them at 4 o'clock in the morning?
So what's with this trademark? Somebody say the watermark, the ballots are watermark. The official ones, and then they're gonna just siphon it out that way and get the corruption. And so the other part of the good plan is that they're using the election to to siphon out all the criminals, you know, the final stages of getting all the criminals who were involved. I mean, that's all the other possibilities. So what do you guys think? Is that going to happen?
Yeah, we're all being snowballed. I don't know.
We're all getting jerked off behind a Wawa.
That's not even that good.
Dude, Wawa, at least you get some halfway decent food when you're done. No, so my honest opinion is that I do believe, just from the laws I've seen set up, you know, Executive Order 13848, a couple of things regarding the reorganization of election integrity into DHS, in taking it away from the FBI. We've already seen what corruption happens in the FBI. All of those things, in my opinion, I do believe that this is possibly one of the greatest sting operations to ever take place. Whether they're using watermarks, I've heard everything from watermarks to, you know, radioisotopes being put into certain different types of paper. I don't really care, but I know that if this government had, and I know they did because I've seen it, if they've had blockchain voting systems patented and licensed since way before 2018, like 2017, 2018, you would have thought that if Trump was really worried about this election and losing it and worried about voter fraud, he would have made that a thing. Like, that would have been the thing. We wouldn't have to worry about it, knowing what I know about blockchain and what Rice knows about blockchain. It was already there. We both know that that could, well, as a matter of fact, somebody in Nexus, Amanda, has actually already created Free and Fair, and it's a blockchain voting app. Like, those things are already created, right?
That's why I asked you earlier if, like, you thought there might, I asked, like, would there be a revote, you know, and do the blockchain voting and make sure it's all because, I mean,
I don't believe there's a revote on this one.
You just gotta, like, everything's gotta be thrown out. If, like, there's a little bit corrupt, it's like it just makes the whole fucking batch corrupt. You gotta start all over.
Yeah, but you also have to look that there is, so what we're running on right now, you and I have had conversations. I don't know if we're able to talk about, you know, the 17th president.
I didn't vote for anybody, just so everybody is very clear. I did not vote at all, period.
He's in our Telegram group. I know. I like that guy already.
I don't know if he's being sarcastic or what, man, there.
He is. Oh, man.
So, but yeah, no, I just don't participate in the reindeer games anymore.
So I think it's United States Code Title 3, Section 1 discusses the date and time of all elections, and it's like for the last 150 years. Yeah, since we started running statutes instead of amendments. So directly right after 1861, that's what it says. It says on the first, after the first Monday of every November, the following Tuesday will be the last day, the only day to vote, actually. So you can't vote anytime after that, after 12 o'clock, right? 12 o'clock, according to the USC Title 3, Section 1, I think it's 1.2, that's it. Like, that is the precedent that is set for this corporation since 1861. That is what is 71. Set. That's 18. No, 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 no. That was District of Columbia Origins Act of 1871, setting and re-engineering.
I think it was 63 that Lincoln became president. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure, but
61.
If I'm right on that, I'm impressed, because as much herb as I smoke all day.
61 through 71 is the origination of the Civil War through the Reconstruction. So you could say that 61 through 71 is the birth and the start of what we know as America and statutory law and all that garbage. As far as in America, that shit was happening with Rome and everything else. Anyway.
1861, 1865. Yeah.
What's that?
Lincoln.
Yeah.
It was 1861. I'm just impressed with my old 45 year old brain after all the stuff that I do to it, man. Yeah.
I'll say this. Here's the one thing. If you circle back into the 13th and 14th Amendment, at the time, you were not able to even be in America. It would be almost tried as treason if you.
Well, you're not allowed to be in the government. Total, the governmental system. You would be
titled of nobility.
Right. You could live in the United States, but you couldn't be a part of the government.
Right. And you can't swear an oath to another society. So how the hell did Abraham Lincoln become a president when he was swearing an oath to the Bar Association.
Right. I get it, dude. But I mean, we're not even 100%. We're not even 100% sure that the 13th Amendment was ever ratified. We're not, we weren't there. That's the thing. I'd like to think that, yeah, this stuff is true. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is, but it was hidden. And well, whether it was hidden because bankers made it be hidden or whatever, you know, because if you really look at how it all went down, that makes sense.
Dude.
But also that could be just people just trying to make a mountain out of a molehill too.
We've had arguments back and forth, Rice, about it, whether, like, what do you call a president? Because we know this is all named after corporate status. Like, let's just say the actually erased
the president.
Right. So it supposedly started as a get-go as a president, right?
Well, there was a corporation, but the corporation wasn't, it was working in conjunction with.
Yes. Yeah.
And then at some point they got separated, right. Civil War. And then when everything got restored, it never actually got restored. It just was incorporated.
Yep.
So what we actually need to do, if we think about it, you know,
just have a 17th president
to bring it back to the elections. Yes. If in fact that Abraham Lincoln could have been the last actual president of the Republic of the Federations of the States known as North America or the United States of America, if that's possible and that's what took place and Donald Trump is restoring the Republic, he could be in fact the 17th president of the United States, the Republic, which was 17th letter. You know, so when you break that down, it's kind of interesting to think about that. But
is that happening? We don't know.
We don't know that's happening.
It's all speculation.
That's where we have these tools put in place by our founding fathers. That's where someone like John F. Kennedy, it's real easy just to quote great people and make yourself sound even smarter, you know, because they've already said it in it. They said it so well that we dare not forget today that we are heirs of that first revolution.
I mean, what do we really think though? War. What do we really think, though? I mean, is it going to be have to be a huge calamity to even try to come back? I mean, that's a worst case scenario. But until people consciously can wake up and have that, you know, redress of grievances and have some action behind it, then even in a calamity, like it's if it's a man-made through their planned calamity, then they're the saviors on the other end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all well planned out. So there's like
boomerang effect. Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of what ifs. I mean, it's just a matter of paying attention. It's a matter of like at least being aware of a lot of different possibilities, because if you're just being closed-minded and thinking it's going to go one direction, you're not going to be prepared for in case it doesn't go that direction. And what I've started to like really come to terms with is things don't happen the way you expect them to. So that means they're probably not going to come the way that you're expecting them to. So you should try to change your outlook and be open to some different possibilities.
And be open to all possibilities, because then you pigeonhole yourself and then you're upset if you have this expectation for something and it doesn't happen. And then what happens? People get so depressed. Some of them commit suicide. Like, dude, they just get all like out of whack. Man, like, it's crazy. Stan,
you said the best thing. We were talking about etymology before. Let's circle back. You said it best, expectations, right? And then people commit suicide. One of the best phrases I ever heard, and I'm glad I heard it when I was young because it made me the free-loving asshole I am today, expectations pave the path to hell, right? What you expect, it doesn't matter if it happens or it doesn't. Typically, it's going to be in a variation that wasn't something that you dreamt of, you know? You may have this grandiose dream. I have it with a lot of things, right? I have it with a bunch of projects I have. I would love to see them go there. I would also expect them to just fail miserably and just dive into the earth. But it's not enough. It's the experience. It's the journey on any of those, whichever. That's the learning curve. And a lot of people, you're absolutely right, where, oh, my God, if Trump doesn't get elected, I'm going to hit my knees and scream to the sky. And that's like maybe the worst I'll do, or I'll just go get a gun and just kill everybody I know and then kill myself. Right. That kind of shit is absolutely the opposite of what this country had in mind, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if, I'm sure if you were to go back in time to our founding fathers founding this nation and tell them, hey, this is how it would turn out, and let them see like a little 30-minute summary of just America, I'm sure they would be like, history would be changed in that moment, I'm sure.
So, they would go straight to Pornhub. They'd be like, what,
Nick? Now, that lasagna is smelling super great. So we're gonna do our final thoughts and our wrap up here. But I do want to remind people that me and Stan will be going live tomorrow at 8:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a community call-in show, open forum. So make sure you join us. But Eric, man, final thoughts before we kick you out.
Don't kick me out. I'll go myself. Thanks. I'm
just be a smart ass.
No, I obviously thanks. I mean, two guys that I can have a conversation with at any time. It's awesome to have that kind of, you know, brotherhood, friendship. You know, to be able to talk all of this stuff out, not just on this show, but in our own personal lives. I thank you for that friendship, that you know, oneness. I hope that this, what we talk about, gets spread to neighbors. I know, Rice, I've been on the phone while you talk to your neighbors. You're a friendly cat with mm-hmm. your neighbors. Obviously Stan, I know he's a friendly cat. If we can't spread this message to just our neighbors and know what our neighbor's name is and do the things that we really need to do, like know your neighbor and then spread this in your own life. There's no sense being on this show. There's no sense trying to spread it out to the internet. It comes from a level where you've already done it here. And you practice it and then all of a sudden you'll find that it doesn't matter. It'll just like flow through energy.
Whoa. He just froze up.
He just flowed. He just flowed his energy out of the now space.
did he ascend?
I think he might've just rainbow bodied and floated on out.
Oh my gosh. We just lost Eric. Wild. He just ascended right in front of our eyes.
He just threw himself out. Like that was it. Like that was pretty epic.
Do you see the light? You see the light? It's just shining bright. That was so strange. That was we love wild. You, Eric. We hope you're okay.
What a way to throw yourself out, Eric.
That was awesome. What a way to end the live
He said he was going to take himself out and he literally did.
He did. He like ascended before our eyes. That was incredible. So I love you, Eric. And hopefully we'll reconnect I don't know, hopefully after this, but another life. I was going to remove him, but he just like, bloop. Yeah, he's gone. Hopefully he's still on this earth, but if not, he just texted me. So he's alive, around. Everybody. He did not body. Ascend. He did not ascend. And he said, power went out. What the fuck?
Oh, there it is. Power so outage is starting now. Power outage is starting. Here it goes.
Isn't that crazy? Cray, cray, cray.
Start the conspiracy. Eric's power went out.
Oh, my God.
Get ready.
Well, it's crazy times we're living in, dude. I don't know what I mean.
Crazy times, man. Yeah, I'm just curious to see what comes over the next few days and where, you know, with the whole foundation of the COVID event they've been pushing and what's going to transpire from that. But
I'm not taking a break until right around Thanksgiving just because I'm forcing myself to do it again. And I want to stay on top of you about doing some stuff. We got to do some conversations with Sergeant Robert Horton. We've got to be reconnecting again with Audubon Rights and a few other things. And I definitely want to see you get back into doing some videos again, man. I miss you doing content, brother.
Me too, man. But I just got to finish these projects. And today,
I get it, but I'm just trying to put the foot in the arse.
The last two things that I tried to go put in, just something went wrong. And I'm like, oh, everything's gone smooth so far. And now I'm just like, oh, man, now I got to research this tonight. So I got to get on that so I can get this stuff done.
I mean,
done.
I know you got stuff going on, but when it's needed, you're there. And that's what's important. Yeah. So.
And that's kind of what, and I want to thank you, Rice, because, you know, I'm kind of like riding your coattails here, but I appreciate you setting everything together, up and contacting me. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have any videos because I'm so knee deep focused on this, these repairs, these car repairs and stuff.
It's mutually beneficial, my brother.
I appreciate you, man.
It's not about anything more than that, man. And
I appreciate you. And that makes you spiritual, man.
I just think it's funny when people just because I don't try to push that. I mean, there's when it comes to freedom, I mean, I don't really have a problem pushing that. But when it comes to spirituality, aside from the saying, and I do encourage people to be spiritual, but aside from that, I don't really want to push anybody in any sort of direction when it comes to spirituality. I just want them to be able to find that path that works for them, that they can connect with. Because it's like when you tell somebody, I've heard several different people say, you know, in lots of different contexts about really important things, that you need to go through a journey on your own. And if somebody may know how to tell you how to make it easier, they're just cheating you out of something that you need. Not that you want, that's something that you need to experience on your own. You don't need to have somebody giving you shortcuts on something that you need to experience the fullness of, to be able to actually get the full understanding, to get under the foundation so that you can look at it from underneath and get that full understanding.
Well, I perceive what you want to, you know, get from others is if they're pointing in a certain direction, it's up to you whether to see if that's the direction to go to get, because there's really nowhere to go ultimately in the spiritual path, because remember, it's just veils. Ultimately, you're just the pure consciousness witnessing all that appears and disappears. Yeah. So all of the stuff that you think is all ego-based. So back to what I said before is if you're just witnessing things arise, it's how you react or respond. And so here we are now, right, with this election. It's like, I have no ties to it. Like, I've been posting stuff, but just to point out the fallacies in it, right? So I choose to engage in that manner because, you know, Eric said to me the other day, he said, why are you fighting so hard then? Because, you know, I said, I don't really care what happens. He said, why are you fighting so hard? I said, Eric, I'm not fighting. I'm choosing to engage. Right. I'm consciously choosing to engage in a certain manner, but I know really it really doesn't matter. Like, because I'm peaceful and whole without all of this.
I know, right? You
none
are.
Of this, none of this
I know
really
you
matters.
Are, but I mean,
none of this really matters in the big scheme of things, because it's consciously.
But for
it's
the now,
all gonna,
for the now yeah, your presence is very much required.
But look at it this way, right?
Regardless of what you want to think, like, you add a lot to the element, to the equation. And
that's how consciousness is moving through this form and your form and all the formers in the comments here, all those forms, it's moving through. But the bigger picture of that awakening behind it is when we all become a divine presence, a divine consciousness, we're not harming or hurting each other. We're not trying to cheat each other, right? That's the whole big lesson here, right? All these people that we're dealing with on this television are cheating people. They're being dishonest, untransparent, and their corruption and all that kind of it. When we reach that level of what does my fellow man need? Right? It's not how much can I take from them? How much can I enslave them? It's like, how do we harmoniously work like the bees? I mean, look what they can make. They can make a freaking perfect honeycomb, right? And they
know
where to go and everything works in harmony.
The bees and the locusts. And I'm like, well, what about the blocusts?
Yeah, right. So that's, you know,
but you said we are blocusts. We just need to go back to being bees.
And until that time comes, that's when that happens. Right. So it's not for me to make it happen. It's for me to be conscious within this realm. And that emanates through exactly this platform that we're doing. Right. So this is getting out to some consciousness, other forms of consciousness. And that plants those seeds, whether they hear it or they like it or not. It's still out there
in the energy form. Very fortunate, I think, to have, you know, between both of our channels, some really awesome viewers. And I appreciate.
Yeah, we got Prepu.
I appreciate everybody who's tuning in, who's adding to the equation, and even those who are just sitting back and just listening and watching and absorbing, because I've been there. And, you know, that's the whole reason why I like to kind of throw it back out. And this is a process of learning, and we're always going to be learning and teaching. And that's all we can do is look out for one another. And regardless of what's happening with the elections, ultimately we are one. And we need to learn how to be that one. And we need to learn how to be able to live and coincide and unite and do things the right and the moral way, using true wait till you guys get to check this interview out with Mark Passio, and you get an understanding of like natural law and get a better understanding of just that point of view, because a lot of people have been looking at this from a lot of different perspectives, but not that perspective. And it's a perspective that I think needs to be added to the equation. So,
well, look at real quick, Michael, look at Michael Rovota, right? So this is it. Like, it's not blasphemy if you say I am God, because everything is God, right? Everything emanates and is an emanation, is a fractal of God. So you, me, everything around me, every insect, every animal is all creations of God. It's an emanation. It's that thought form, right? So when we realize our God consciousness and we act in that manner rather than unconsciously, that's when the true changes take place. It's that simple. Yeah. Those veils become lifted. There's no separation. And that's the whole treat someone else as you would have like to have yourself treated, right? So, but that's not happening, right? You see all the babbling and bashing back and forth and the hate and all that kind of stuff going on. It's like, no wonder people are so confused. You turn on the TV for 5 minutes, you can just see it. It's like,
okay, yeah, you go outside and it's the total opposite. So it's crazy, man.
And so, no, God AI. So Pierce Brosnan, real quick, is God AI? Yes and no, because everything is God. So man created the artificial intelligence, which is consciousness. God created us, which is consciousness, through a conscious thought. Someone created this glass through a conscious thought. It's created through consciousness. This phone, my microphone, the microphone rice, everything around you is all consciousness manifested in a form, because consciousness needed that to be more comfortable in form. It's God. Everything is God. So acting God consciously is the key.
God, yes, Miss Justice. I interviewed Mark earlier today, and that is on my Patreon channel right now. It's going to be uploaded to my YouTube channel sometime tomorrow afternoon. So everybody stay tuned for that.
Get to that lasagna, brother.
Yeah. Well, here's what I was going to do real quick, just so when we go out, so everybody sees, we're going to be doing the stream tomorrow. It's going to be at 8:00 PM Eastern Standard Time, which would be 5:00 PM Pacific Standard Time. So make sure you're tuning in. It's for a community call-in open forum show. We're going to have the link in the video description. It's going to be streaming on both mine and Stan's channel. So Bodhisattva Love and Rice Crypto. The way you can join us in the stream will be listed in the video description. And Stan, what I figure we'll do is we'll just kind of base it off how long we'll do it based off how things are going tomorrow. But we'll try to give everybody about, instead of doing it the way we did it the last time, we'll do like 10 minutes or so. With 10, 15 every,
minutes.
Yeah, and then just kind of like bring on our next person. That way we can give everybody equal time. And the whole thing is we would like to hear from people who are watching our show on both channels, and it's open topic, open forum, and it's for you, the community, to call in. So make sure you subscribe to both of our channels. This particular stream is on both channels. If you're watching us on my channel, check out Stan's channel, Bodhisattva Love. If you're watching us on Stan's, check out my channel, Rice Crypto, and make sure you subscribe to us both, because it would help us and it helps other people to see this information in the stream. Thank you for tuning in for tonight's live stream, and much love.